Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls at least for a few minutes, because we're hoping to have with us Avi Lipkin on, who's written a number of fascinating books on what's happening in the Near East. Or, of course, if he doesn't appear, why, it's going to be just you and me for the next hour. That's always a little embarrassing. We talked to Avi just a short while ago, and he, of course, guaranteed he would be available. But then, of course, sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men oft times go astray. Well, right now we'll just keep trying to get Avi on the line. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East. And, of course, you know, it's so difficult as you begin to look at the whole situation over there. Everything is confusion. I mean, here we've got, of course, the Palestinians on one side. We've got the Israelis on the other. And there is injustice on both sides. There's no question at all. But, of course, I mean, if you were as an Israeli, what would you do if somebody was sending terrorist bombers into your community and killing your woman and children? Of course you'd strike back. And, of course, if you were a Palestinian and constantly being told how terrible the Israelis are, that stole your land, of course, that deprived you of an opportunity to live with pride, they were oppressing your people, and then they were, of course, making needless attacks on your situation. And then, of course, day after day on television there in the Palestinian area, you were hearing about Israeli atrocities against your people. Wouldn't you, of course, strike back? And what you must understand is that both sides are being manipulated, and of course the people, the Jewish people and the Palestinians, are simply pawns in this terrible tragedy that is being carried out today in the Middle East. Now, of course, why, of course, are we financing Arafat, who is a terrorist? He's always been a terrorist. He's not even a Palestinian. He came out of Egypt. And, of course, he was involved with the attack on the Aquino Laurel. He's been a terrorist for many years, and yet he's been constantly built up by the American government. When the Palestinian PLO forces were in Lebanon in the 1980s, and Israel moved in and was about ready to liquidate them and do away with the enemy once and for all, why, we intervened. And, of course, we took them off to Tunisia and built them up again, gave them the funding, and sent them back to Palestine to continue the war. Why? Because we want conflict there. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is financing Hamas. And who is protecting Saudi Arabia? Why, we are. I mean, in fact, every time George Herbert Walker Bush goes over to Saudi Arabia to stay, who does he stay with? Why, the Bin Laden family. You've heard of the Bin Laden family. They have one of their sons, I think his name is, it's Osama. Yes, Osama Bin Laden. And, of course, the Bin Laden family was here in the United States at the time of the 9/11 attack, and they were all rounded up, very nicely by the FBI and protected and taken off someplace, I think it was Washington, D.C., until it was safe for them to fly, and then they were allowed to leave the country. The corporation was financed largely by the Bin Laden family. They withdrew shortly before September 11th, almost as if they knew something was about to happen. But there's always been a very close relationship between, of course, the Bin Laden family and George Herbert Walker Bush, formerly director of the CIA, member of the council, a director of the CFR, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, our guest to be this afternoon in just a couple of minutes will be Avi Lipkin, and he's going to give us his opinion of what's going on in the Middle East. But you must understand, first of all, as far as the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, we really don't want a solution. We have forced the Israelis, of course, to give up land time and time again. The Oslo Accord, oh, if the Israelis will simply just give up more and more of the land that they have taken, why, of course, then there'll be peace. Land for peace was the slogan. Well, of course, the Palestinians had no intention of having peace there. Arafat, a lifelong terrorist backed by the communists, and of course, certainly backed by the United States. We fund them, and of course, then we force the Israelis to give them guns to the Palestinians so they could have a police force, so they could maintain law and order. And what were the guns used for? Well, they were to build up a Palestinian army to attack Israel. Now, this whole Hamas movement is being financed by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been funding the terrorist movement for years. They helped fund the Afghan war and indoctrinate, along with the CIA and the Pakistani intelligence, the Mujahideen in the radical Islamic movement. This was in the 1980s. Anyone who wants to document that, we carry the book Dollars for Terror. You need to get it and read it. It was written in 1999 by a Swiss journalist who wanted to find out who was funding this whole radical Islamic movement. And what do you think he found out? The Saudis, Pakistani intelligence, which is a surrogate of the CIA, and the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, the book Dollars for Terror is must reading. You need to get it. There's another book we don't carry, but it's called Unholy Wars by James Cooley, or John Cooley, who is the foreign correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. And in that book, he goes into the funding of Al-Qaeda. Who funded Al-Qaeda? Why, the CIA. Who funded the Taliban? Why, the American government started funding them back in 1994. And you get the exact page of references. If you get my letters, you can pull them off my website at radioliberty.com. You need to have this information to understand. And of course, Saudi has been funding this whole Al-Qaeda movement both before and after September 11th. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabians. Osama bin Laden comes from Saudi Arabia. The Islamic movement, of course, is based on the Wahhabi religion, which comes out of Saudi Arabia and is financed by the Saudis. There's a $1 trillion lawsuit against a Saudi prince. Who do you think is defending the Saudi prince from the $1 trillion lawsuit by the families of the victims of 9/11? Why, James Baker's law firm. Who is James Baker? Why, he's the president's lawyer, George Bush's lawyer, the man who defended him in Florida during the election fiasco. We'll be right back here in just a moment, hopefully with Avi Lipkin. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we have us on the line, Avi Lipkin. Hi, Avi. How are you doing?
Good to be back on your show after a long hiatus.
Right. Well, it's good to have you back with us and to bring us up to date with what's going on over there. And we hear all this talk about peace in our time, sort of a, well, I think that was Neville Chamberlain, but that is, of course, what we're trying to tell the American people. We're going to have peace between the Palestinian and the Jews. If the Jews will just give up a little bit more land. Now, for those of you who don't know Avi, of course, is a, lived in America for many years. I think he has dual citizenship, but he lives in Israel. His wife works over there, but he comes to America to try to tell the American people what's really going on, not the pap you're getting from the controlled media. What's really going on over there, Avi?
What's going on, as it says in the Bible, is what was is what will be. And what we are facing here is a continuation of over 100 years of nonstop war between Islam and the Jews, Islam and the Christians, Islam and the Hindus, Islam and the Buddhists. Israel basically is just a sideshow. This is a global war. I call it World War III after 9/11. But it is a war basically in which American soldiers are being killed in Iraq and in Afghanistan and wherever Muslims can kill Americans and on American soil. And as far as Israel is concerned, the Jews are an extension of Christianity in the eyes of Islam. And Israel is a continuing target. What I don't understand is this double standard out of Washington, D.C., that they went to Afghanistan to remove Islamic terrorists. They went to the American troops went to Iraq to remove Saddam Hussein and his terrorists. And all of a sudden, we find that the same kind of criminals, Arafat, Abu Mazen, are all of a sudden protected and encouraged by the American administration.
Well, Kristen, one of the big things is, at least my impression, is that Hamas, which is one of the major flies in the ointment, that nothing can ever get settled over there as long as Hamas and Hezbollah and these others, Islamic Jihad, trying to stimulate the terrorism, and yet they're being funded by Saudi Arabia. And yet, of course, we're defending Saudi Arabia. In fact, the president's lawyer, James Baker's law firm, is defending the Saudis against this $1 trillion lawsuit brought by the victims or the families of the victims of 9/11. What's this all about?
Well, I think it's very simple, especially if your listeners are Christian people. I mean, I'm a Jewish person myself. I'd be very happy if there were Jewish people listening to your show as well.
I hope we have. We do have some good Jewish people who listen to us.
Yes, but the point is, you know, there is a teaching, by the way, in Christianity and in Judaism, that you cannot serve two masters. Either serve the Lord God, or you serve mammon. Mammon is a Hebrew word for money, mammon in Hebrew. If you serve money, which is what James Baker III does, which is what the Bush family does, then you're going to serve the Saudis. If you serve the Lord, you're going to fight the Saudis.
And I agree with you totally. In fact, the Saudi regime is a totally corrupt regime. In fact, you know, people have forgotten Idi Amin. I mean, here was a brutal dictator who killed a quarter to a half million people of his own nation in Uganda. He was a cannibal. I have a book written by his minister of health telling how he would go in with the victims of his enemies and come out with blood on his fingers, licking the blood off of his fingers. This man is living in palatial splendor there in Saudi Arabia. And where's the cry for war crimes tribunals against Idi Amin?
Well, listen, this is just, I don't want to say a small thing, but you have, for example, in Sudan, where over 2 million black people have been slaughtered by the Islamic government. And by the way, when you ask where are the weapons of mass destruction of Saddam Hussein, a lot of them have been used by the government of Sudan. These were in storage in Sudan. And Saddam Hussein gave his blessing to the Sudanese Islamic government to use these biological and chemical weapons against the blacks of the South. The very last page of my first book, there is a testimony from Pastor Stephen Walcott, who was a missionary in northern Zaire, northern Congo, on the border with South Sudan. And a lot of the refugees who were coming across the border were suffering from Gulf War syndrome. So you can guess that it must have been Iraqi WMD. Listen, Saddam Hussein killed 2 million of his own people. You know, he killed Iranians, Iraqis, Kurdish people, the Kuwaitis. He would want to have killed Jews and Christians, but it was much easier to kill his own Muslims, and that's what he did.
Well, you know, I've heard certain people have mentioned, and among them Dor Gold, a former ambassador to the United Nations from Israel, many of the weapons of mass destruction have been transferred into Syria. Had you heard that?
Oh, this is absolutely true. By the way, I don't know if you know, Dr. Stan, my third book just came out. It's called Islamic Threat Updates Almanac Number 1, and it's available by calling 1-800-540-0828, 1-800-540-0828. You can also get it from my website bookstore at vicmord.com, VicMord.com. And in the book, there is a very interesting article that I translated from the Israeli press from over a year ago about how Syria was gun running for Iraq, and the Syrian Baath Party is basically the alter ego for the Iraqi Baath Party, which are both basically Nazi and Stalinist parties at the same time.
And I think that's what's so difficult for people to understand, is that basically this was a fascist regime that Saddam Hussein had set up. It wasn't a Muslim regime. It was based on the Ba'ath Party. It was Sunni Muslims, but it really had nothing to do with religion. It was a secular dictatorship with very close ties going back, you know, to the time of the Nazis, when many of the Arabs were aligned with the Nazis in the Second World War.
Very correct. And you know what? The Muslims kind of even disowned him for quite a while. But let me say something which is very scary here. And that is that Saddam Hussein was behind the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City in 1993. Ramzi Youssef was a Saddam Hussein agent. Saddam Hussein was behind the attack in Oklahoma City on April 19, 1995. McVeigh and Nichols were not Christian right-wing militia. That was a big lie. They were prototypes of the Johnny Walker Lind, the Taliban of Marin County, California. And Terry Nichols trained in the Philippines with the Abu Sayyaf Islamic terrorist group founded by Ramzi Youssef, the Iraqi agent. And Timothy McVeigh had a guilt trip for having killed the Iraqis during Desert Storm, and so he went to work with Saddam Hussein to carry out vengeance against the U.S. in April of 1995 in Oklahoma City. 1996, the shooting down of TW-800 was an Iraqi missile. Saddam Hussein said the day before in a speech in the National Assembly, "Tomorrow is Iraq's National Independence Day, and we're going to give the world a big surprise." And they did indeed. All of this was covered up by President Clinton. And by the way, all of this is in my first book as well as in my third book. And all three books are available, like I said, from the VicMord.com website or from the 800-540-0828 number. And I think, you know, in Hosea 4:6 it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My books are books of knowledge, which strengthen and reinforce the faith.
All right, fine. Now, let's. What's the title of the third book?
It's called Islamic Threat Updates, Almanac Number 1.
Islamic Threat Updates, Almanac Number 1, and the first two books.
And the first book is called It's Fanatic Islam and Global Threat,
right,
which we've spoken about many, many times on your show. And the second book is called Christian Revival for Israel's Survival, which basically was written in 1999 in response to Bill Clinton bombing the heck out of the Serbs, out of the Christians, and going to, sending American boys and girls into battle to defend the Muslims.
And I think that's what people really don't understand, is that in both Bosnia and Kosovo, we were siding with Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda, who were really behind the terrorist movement. What's wrong with this picture? Well, the truth of the matter is nothing as it appears to be. And, of course, it's sort of like Bill Clinton is saying, our boys will be home from Bosnia by November. He just never mentioned which November. So they play games with us all the time. And the American people are so foolish, they don't even they've forgotten that all of our troops were to be out of that area by November of what year, I don't even remember now. So, of course, as we see what's going on over there, this latest bid by the president, it's almost like he wants to get a Nobel Peace Prize. He's going to have peace between Sharon and Arafat, and of course this fellow is supposedly representing Arafat, but Arafat's really in charge over there. Arafat has no intention of having peace, does he?
Not at all. And neither does Abu Mazen.
All right.
This is all a charade.
In other words, he's been created by the American media to convince us that he's the moderate.
Right. Well, he's not a moderate. He denies that the Holocaust ever existed. He denies that the temple ever existed on the Temple Mount. I mean, you've got to be really, really a sick person to deny those things. And he wants 4 million Palestinian refugees to be brought back into Israel from all over the world, which would, of course, wipe out the Jewish majority in the Holy Land. And then Islam would return to kill all the Jews and basically destroy the land, kill all the Muslims and the Christians too.
Yeah, well, of course, the whole situation is so insane. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, we hear stories about, of course, the south wall of the Temple Mount. I haven't been over in Israel for many years, but apparently the Muslims are tunneling all under the Temple Mount, trying to get out all the Jewish artifacts so they can say, see, there are no more Jewish artifacts. In the process, they're undermining the Al-Aqsa Mosque and perhaps even the Dome of the Rock, that beautiful Mosque of Omar. What's really going on over there? Is really danger that that whole thing could collapse?
Well, you know what? I think that God has a sense of humor.
Well, I'm sure God's hands in what's ever going on, but just from our point of view, what's going on?
I think it's the right... firstly, I'm very upset that the Israeli government let the Muslims do these things, because, you know, if we, God forbid, touch any of the Muslim sites, the whole world is up in arms. But when they are undermining our holiest site, and by the way, the Temple Mount is the holy site for the Jews, not for the Muslims. This is a... Jerusalem was never mentioned in the Quran. And Muhammad was never in Jerusalem, so I don't understand how this place is holy to the Muslims.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. Our guest is Avi Lifkin, and of course, remember the telephone number if you'd like to get his books. It's 1-800-540-0828. That's 1-800-540-0828. And, of course, we'll be back in just a moment here. And, of course, we'll take your calls after the half hour. But I want to get all the information we can from Avi because, of course, he is just here. He's just back from the Holy Land, from Jerusalem, where he lives, and bringing us up to date on the happenings on this one area that is really the center of everything going on in the world today.
Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, built with his mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamex, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamex. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, I just want to mention that this is a good time to get yourself a Big Berkey water filter. The Big Berkey water filter has been designed for use really in almost any conditions at all. It's been used by missionaries for over 150 years. It's a stainless steel water filter. It filters 2.5 gallons of water at a time, about 25 gallons of water a day. And of course, the ceramic filters will take out the bacteria. And of course, inside the ceramic filters, there's an activated carbon that'll take out many of the minerals and certainly the chemicals there. And this is a very, very efficient means of changing the taste of the water, purifying it. You can take later lake or pond or river water and run it through there, and it'll be portable. And of course, the Big Berkey certainly has stood the test of time. They are available ordinarily for for $279. We sell them for $239. And if you buy them through Radio Liberty, why, of course, you'll get either a four-tape set or a video we produced. That's the Big Berkey water filter. They're available in every state of the Union except California and Iowa. Now, there is another water filter. It's called a Berkey Light, and it also filters 25 gallons a day. It is clear. It's not stainless steel. It's clear, so you can actually see the water levels. The filters are known as the Black Berkey filters. They're really a very efficient filter, probably the most efficient filter made today, and so that you can run a water through them that has a billion bacteria from the top, and by the gets out the bottom, there is just no detectable bacteria at all. It does an excellent job with the chemicals and certainly the various other items you'd want to get out, the heavy minerals. But of course, these filters have to be changed every 2 to 4 years of the Black Berkey filters. However, this is only $199, and if you buy it through us, you'll get our four-tape set or our video. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and see the pictures of the filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Avi Lifkin is with us. He's really one of our favorite guests. He's been on many, many times through the years. It's always a pleasure to have him on with us. And he's just back from Israel. And, we were talking about Temple Mount. And those who haven't been there, of course, the south side of the is this great wall. And above that, of course, is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, a very special mosque, and at least to the Muslims who lived in that area. And then beyond that, maybe 100 yards or so, is this Dome of the Rock. And you've seen this there in pictures, this beautiful domed, gold-domed mosque that was built by Omar in about 690. And yet, of course, now the Muslims are undermining the whole of the Temple Mount, and we hear that the south wall is beginning to bulge, and some people are afraid that whole thing could collapse, and with it, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. What's your thought on that, Avi?
Well, I'm not a geologist, and I'm not an archaeologist, and I'm not a, an engineer. And I, you know, usually try to stay away from all these different, how should I say, speculations regarding what's going to happen on the Temple Mount. But, you know, I want to tell you a story.
All right.
I was once with the Christian Embassy of Jerusalem's a Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And there is this reporter for the Boston Globe. His name is Charles Sennott. I don't know if you ever heard of him. And he came over to my table. He always used to come over to my table and listen to me talking to these other Christians. And then he'd say, what do you think about your Christians now? And I said, what do you mean? Well, what do you think about the destroying the two mosques to build a temple? And I said to him, well, you know, it's not politically correct to say such things or to think such things. And I say basically, you know, that this is in God's hands. And, you know, I mean, if anybody touches those mosques, that could start World War III. But I said to him, but if World War III breaks out anyway with the Muslims, then I said, yeah, go ahead, destroy the mosques and build the temple. I said, you're an Israeli army spokesman. I'm going to complain to your commanders. And I said that I was just retired from the Israeli Army Spokesman's Office a month ago, so it's too late to retire me from the Israeli Army Spokesman's Office, where I served for 14 years as a spokesman, 16 years in artillery also, 30 years in the Israeli Army and in the reserves, and Charleston, I was really ticked off when I said to him, yeah, if World War III breaks out, go ahead and destroy the mosques.
No, I think he was setting you up for our... But you know, I've heard...
By the way, I enjoy getting set up.
but I really think, yeah, of course, you never can trust a reporter. They will do that sort of a little games with you, and you have to be so guarded in what you say. But, you know, I think that hearing a rabbi one time, and somebody asked him, you know, what is going to happen? How are you going to be able to rebuild the temple with the Muslim mosque there? And he said, that's in God's hands. We're not to worry about that. And I really think that that is such a wise attitude, because there are certain things that are beyond our control.
Correct.
And of course, if when God wants those mosques to be destroyed, he's going to destroy them, and then there'll be an opportunity to rebuild the temple, and not until then, and nothing you or I or anybody else is going to do is going to influence that.
Right. But those mosques are an abomination on the holiest site to the Jews, and perhaps the holiest site for the Christians as well.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, what's the attitude of the Israeli people? You know, they must be getting so sick and tired of the constant fear and the bombings. And, of course, this is all to instill terror in the people over there.
Well, you know, this is nothing new, Dr. Stan. This has been going on for over 100 years since the Jewish people started coming back to the Holy Land. And you want to know something? Jews have always been murdered in Islamic countries in the last 1,400 years. The Jewish people are hated and despised in the Islamic religion. You know, it says in the Quran in chapter 5 that the Jews and the Christians are the children of the ape and the children of the swine. In other words, the Jews are the children of the ape and the Christians are the children of the swine. The Muslims say kill the Jews on Saturday because they are the Saturday people, and kill the Christians on Sunday because the Christians are the Sunday people.
Well, now, what do you think about the current move of the Americans over to the Middle East? And, of course, it's quite obvious to me, although I don't think it's obvious to most Americans, that the invasion of Iraq was simply a vehicle for our stationing our troops permanently in the Middle East. And many people say, well, the only reason we're doing this, really, is because the Jews want us there to guard Israel. But it doesn't look to me like we're doing a very good job of guarding Israel. I think our demands are really going to destroy Israel if we keep pressuring them to give up more and more land.
Well, I think the administration in Washington was looking for was a win or win situation. In other words, if the American troops go into Iraq and America gets the oil and takes out Saddam Hussein, that's a win. And then in response, then the Americans have promised the Saudis to be on the side of the Palestinians, which is a win for what they think for the American government, too. And it's wrong. It's not.
It is not. And, of course, you're not going to gain any favor with the Lord by backing the Palestinians. Not that there are problems with the Palestinians, and I wish they could be solved. But, you know, there's an awful lot of land over there in all those Arab countries, and the Arab leaders have consistently refused to do anything about it, to give the Palestinians any place to go. The Israelis have been forced out of the Arab lands. The Palestinians, of course, have not been welcomed in the Arab lands. So we got real problems, and I'm afraid it's going to be very difficult to solve this. I believe it's going to take God's intervention to do that. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you.
four tapes yet, genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the other items we carry. One of them is certainly the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course, we can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you that many of our listeners do, and they tell us all the wonderful things that the soap products have done. There's a soap, and there's a moisturizing soap. There's a neutralizer, which some people, of course, will take for heartburn. It basically is just a very alkaline, a mineralized solution. But I know people use it, and then, of course, there is a lotion and a gel. And all we can do is suggest that if you'd like to buy these various products, and the gel is good for all sorts of things. I know my wife uses it for sunburn and things of that sort. And I use it on my hair and a little rash I have on my forehead. So if you'd like to try the products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. If you'd like information on them, go to our website or give us a call. But look into Miracle 2 products. And then, of course, we carry Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a board game that's designed to teach children how to read phonetically and spell and pronounce words phonetically. The children are being taught a method in school that was intended to fail. Our children are at the bottom of the rung in comparison with children in other nations, so this isn't happening by accident. And if you have sent your children to government schools or you're a victim of government schools yourself, you need to have to lean to learn how to read phonetically so your brain will function right. Phonopoly is a board game. Actually, it's five board games played very much like Monopoly. It's loads of fun, but in 16 hours, you can undo all the damage that has been done by the government schools. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 544-8927. Ask about Phonopoly. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books. Call now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Avi Lifkin, and we're talking about, of course, what's happening in the Middle East, and of course, the fact that the American troops are there, and of course, now we've, of course, pulled our troops out of Saudi Arabia. We're putting pressure on the Israelis to make more concessions. If you just give up more land and make more concessions, then you can live in peace. And as Avi has said, this is not going to bring peace, because, of course, the Arabs, the Palestinians and the Arabs have been in conflict for 100 years or more. So, Avi, what's going to happen or what should happen? What do you think should be done?
Well, firstly, you have in the history of the Middle East and the United States, people such as Cyrus Vance, who was Secretary of State, Rogers, James Baker III, these guys all tried to pressure Israel, and they failed. And Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and President George W. are going to fail. If they think they're going to be able to poke out the apple of God's eye, which is the Jewish people, then they will get both their eyes poked out by God himself. Israel cannot be forced away from its positions now, because any movement towards the borders of 67 would mean the destruction of Israel. Any return of 4 million Palestinian refugees would mean Israel's destruction. Israel withdrawing from where its present military positions are would mean that 60, we have every day 60 pinpoint intelligence warnings about the homicide bombers ready to go and blow up dozens and hundreds of Israelis, so that's not going to happen. And then withdrawing from these territories and pulling down 500,000 Jews from their homes and the settlements and in the territories, this is also not going to happen. And I always say, that somebody says, hey, Dr. Stan, you and I and Avi, let's all go to this insane asylum and negotiating a multi-billion dollar deal with some guys completely psychotic, completely nuts in the insane asylum. You know, and I know, that no multi-billion dollar deal can be negotiated with somebody who's mentally ill. The Muslims are mentally ill. Their religion is not a religion, it is a sickness. And if George W. Bush thinks that it's possible to make peace with the Muslims, then he's delusional. And it's a very sad thing that the American leadership is delusional and ignorant.
Well, of course, my fear is that Mr. Ron has said that, you know, he's willing to pull back the settlements. And, you know, of course, the pressure is on him to pull back the settlements and, of course, to help, then the Palestinians to set up their own homeland, with the idea that then they will, once they have their homeland, they're going to have a police force and put down the terrorists. And I don't think they have any intention of doing that at all, because they were given that opportunity, they were given that in the Oslo Accord, and of course they used that simply to destroy the Israeli normal line of defense along the Jordan River, and of course to push the Israelis back to an enclave, which today I think is totally indefensible.
Yes, also another thing, and this goes back to UN Resolutions 242 and 338, that nobody ever talks about anymore. The UN resolutions say that Israel should give land for peace, but Israel should negotiate with its neighbors for new borders which are secure, recognized, and defensible. Now, defensible borders are not 67 borders. Defensible borders are the borders that Israel has today. And if the United States wants to revoke its support for the UN resolutions and say, no, Israel goes back to the borders of 67, which is, by the way, the Saudi peace plan, so-called, it means the destruction of Israel. And like I said before, anybody who tries to poke out the apple of God's eye, God is going to poke out both the eyes of that person. I pray for George W. Bush. He's got to change his advisors. He's got to get Christians there advising him and not oil people, because he's going to bring down God's wrath on the U.S. By the way, I don't know if you remember, Dr. Stan, but 2 weeks before 9/11, the Palestinian spokesperson, Nabil Shaath, came out from a meeting holding a paper saying, I have the signature of President George W. Bush, that he has promised the Saudis and promised the Palestinians that Israel would be delivered an ultimatum, that Israel had to go back to the borders of 67, uproot 500,000 settlers, bring back 4 million Palestinian refugees, and 2 weeks later, you know what happened, was 9/11. And our Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, said, we are not Czechoslovakia, and these territories, Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, are not the Sudetenland, and we will not be forced back to the borders of 67, no matter what George W. Bush says.
Well, I'm very, very concerned that you're absolutely right. In fact, of course, our recurrent theme in our program is we're really fighting a spiritual battle on the political battlefield. And we've got people who are trying to fight this spiritual battle politically, and I don't think God's going to be marked. I really feel that you are absolutely right, that we're going to bring down the wrath of God on this country. And I think that the American people, you know, have no idea what the wrath of God would be like. But we are so vulnerable. Militarily, we are susceptible to terrorist acts. We are susceptible to a financial collapse that could destroy the savings and the so-called stability and safety of every American. And I think we're just living in a fool's world. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know that there is a testimony that I've repeated three times in each of my books, and it is about the Dallas Council on World Affairs, the Dallas branch of the Council on Foreign Relations. And to make a very long story very short,
why don't you go ahead and tell? I've heard it, but I want our listeners to hear it again.
Well, okay, it'll take a few minutes.
Okay, fine. We've got a few minutes.
I was invited to speak for one and only time in my life before the Council on Foreign Relations in 1991 in April. And I was explaining to them that Israel wants peace and that indeed, you know, Rabin, a socialist prime minister, gave half the Golan back to Syria in 74, and that Menachem Begin, a Likud prime minister, gave Sinai back to the Egyptians a third time. And that was 93% of the lands that we were forced to take in wars of self-defense in 67 and 73. And when the UN resolution said, you know, that Israel has to give land for peace, it never said to give back all the land. It said to give land for peace and negotiate for new borders which are secure, recognized, and defensible. Therefore, the Arabs had to compromise on the remaining 7%, which is what we hold today. And by the way, that's not true. We don't hold it today because we gave 2% more of the land to King Hussein for peace. We gave 2% of the land to Arafat. So Israel has basically handed over 97% of the land that it was forced to take in wars of self-defense. And I said it, the UN resolution said this, and Israel needs to have these new borders for its defense. And so after I said these things, we had dinner, and then the Dallas Council people said to me, you know, firstly, you have to understand one thing, that Israel is all alone. America is not your ally anymore, is not the ally of Israel. We are tired of paying for Israel's wars. Israel will give all the land to the Palestinians because Israel is all alone. And we don't even care about UN resolutions 242 and 338, they said to me. And of course, Israel, remember, handed back Sinai with all the oil and all the airfields there for the Air Force, considering that we expected some kind of compromise from the other side. Now it turns out we were lied to. Anyway, the second point they said to me, and besides they said to me, you have to remember there's only one thing that made America great, and that was the barrel of oil, the steady price of oil and the steady supply of oil. And then my Christian friend who was there for dinner that night and for the lecture got up and said, you call yourselves Christians? You say that what made America great was the barrel of oil, the steady price of oil, the steady supply of oil. You should be ashamed of yourselves. What made America great was not the barrel of oil. What made America great was Jesus Christ. And that's all he said, and he sat down. And then his daughter got up and said, you know, besides, it says in the Bible, those who bless Israel are blessed, and those who curse Israel are cursed. And I came to the very, very clear conclusion that night that there are two types of American. You have the Christian, and you have the anti-Christian. And there is no middle ground. And the anti-Christian has the blood of 6 million Jews on its hands in Washington, because these people in Washington worked with the British and with the Arabs to prevent the Jews from leaving Nazi-occupied Europe, sealing them into Nazi-occupied Europe, giving Hitler the green light to kill 6 million Jews. And it's going to happen again. Israel will be sacrificed for a barrel of oil, and we see it happening. So I came to the conclusion, just as there are Christians ready to give their lives for Israel, I'm a Jew who's ready to give my life for a Christian revival, because if the Christians don't have a revival, Israel will not have a survival.
And I think that's really is so very accurate. And I think that there, what people don't understand is there are people with a different worldview. In fact, most Americans don't even know that at the end of the Second World War, we brought the head of the evil Gestapo, Heinrich Mueller, to America and gave him a nice, comfortable job. In fact, I just got a book today on Operation Paperclip, how we brought so many of the Nazi scientists not only to America after the war, we helped so many of the Nazi war criminals to escape to South America. Why would you do that? Because there are people in America who have a different worldview than Avi and I do. And they're certainly not coming from a Jewish point of view. They're not coming from a Christian world point of view. They're coming from the dark side. And unfortunately, these people have gained control of our government, and that's why we're in the trouble we are today. So, yeah, well, now, Avi, as you're going around, and I know you're speaking to Christian audiences all across America, trying to hope to bring about this Christian revival, because I agree with you. If we don't have a revival in America, you can forget this country and everything it stands for. Because we, of course, have basically come to embrace materialism rather than our Lord, not realizing our prosperity doesn't come from our own efforts, but from those of our Savior.
Well, let me say one thing, and many times I work with very dear people like yourself who are much more critical of the Christians of America than I am, and I'm not critical of the Christians. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you two little things to think about. Do you remember the book Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville?
Yes, 1842, 1841, right.
And you know what? This was part of the syllabus in 1966 when I was a high school senior in New York. And it was a boring book, but there was some very important statements there. One of them was that America will be the greatest country on the face of the earth because the American people are a good people and their pulpits are on fire for the Lord. And he said, conversely, that when America's pulpits will no longer be on fire for the Lord, America will lose its preeminence in the world. The second thing I wanted to share with you is that CNN, the paragon of virtue and the truth, had a factoid once which said what percentage of American high school youth want prayer in school, and the answer was 63%. In other words, two-thirds of American high school youth are Christians, are churchgoers, which means their parents probably are too. And how can you explain a president like Clinton being president and America not punishing Israel? I mean, that a God not punishing America. because the Christians are really the majority in the United States. The problem is not that Christians are not Christian. The problem is that the media is hiding the truth, and it says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so my ministry, my work, is to get the knowledge out to the Christians and the Jews. Unfortunately, Jews don't really want to hear what I'm saying, most of them, but the people who control the Jewish institutions in America are ultra-left. A lot of Jewish people who are right-wing and conservative in America basically are isolated and not organized because, like I said, the institutions are controlled by left-wing people. But I have a very full schedule, praise God, in churches of all Christian denominations. And I go around the country and I do these radio shows with you and other very dear people and TV shows. And I'm hoping to get the information out, because if the Christians have the knowledge, they have the faith. They're not foolish. They're smart people. They're wise people. They just, it's not accessible. My job is to make the information accessible.
Well, I hope you will succeed. Let's go to Fred, who's calling us from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Do you have a question or comment for Avi?
Yes, I would like to have a question. I was wondering if Israel got backed up against the wall, would they use their full wrath of their military might, including their atomic bombs that
they
had?
Their nuclear weapons, sure. Let's ask Avi, did you get the question? Fred says, look, if Israel faced destruction, would Israel use its full military capacity, which is, of course, thermonuclear weapons?
Well, my belief is yes. And as a matter of fact, I would like to say two things which are very important. And these two things are in my new book that just came out. Firstly, that in Iran, they have this nuclear project that's been going full steam ahead for a number of years already, and they have promised the Russians that this is only for peaceful purposes. But, you know, Muslims are known for lying because their religion is a religion of lies, especially when you're talking to Christians. So Iran is planning a nuclear attack on Israel, and I'll tell you why. The debate raging in Iran today is, if we Muslims nuke Jerusalem first, in other words, even if we kill all the Jews, Christians, and even all the Palestinians, doesn't matter. We nuke Jerusalem, we prove that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a liar, and the Bible is a pack of lies, and that Allah is the true God. On the other hand, if the Jews and Christians nuke Mecca first, they destroy the Kaaba, destroy the heart, the holiest place for Islam, then Allah is the liar, and we will abandon Allah and go over to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is an argument that is taking place today in Iran. The second point I wanted to share is that the Saudis, and this is in chapter 7 of my new book, the Saudis have built a missile base with the help of the Communist Chinese. The Communist Chinese have provided 120 intermediate-range missiles that can hit Israel with an accuracy of 100 yards, meaning bullseye. I don't have to tell you, four missiles hitting Jerusalem, Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Beersheba with nuclear warheads courtesy of Pakistan. That's the end of Israel. So Israel today is in a very precarious situation. And whatever happened in Iraq with weapons of mass destruction is nothing compared to what the Iranians now have or will have, and what the Saudis have. The Saudis, at the push of a button, have 120 intermediate-range missiles with Chinese missiles with Pakistani nuclear warheads. And so I think we are headed for very, very perilous times in the coming days.
And I think so, too. And let's go to John calling from Los Angeles. Hi, John. A question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to ask Avi, I think it was August of 2001, I thought I'd heard you interviewed by Warren Duffy, Los Angeles KKLA, and you'd mentioned that the Mossad and some other intelligence agencies anticipated some attack on New York, possibly the World Trade Center, and possibly the 11th. Do you recall that?
Oh, well, absolutely. Hey, listen. I don't know if you you've heard of Chuck Missler, right?
Right.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, I was in Kurt Lane on July the 11th, in other words, 2 months before September the 11th.
Uh-huh.
And I made a speech there, and he said, hey, they're going to take your planes and they're going to crash them into the World Trade Center. And so everybody said, oh, Avi predicted this 2 months before, but that's not true. I predicted this already in 1994, and you know why? Because there's a video called The Jihad in America by PBS,
uh-huh,
which was buried by PBS because Stephen Emerson did such a good job. And the Muslims were really hopping angry. And Clinton and the Muslims made PBS bury the movie. And by the way, the movie is available on my website, vicmord.com, Jihad in America. The video said in November of 1994 that they have plans to blow up American aircraft and to destroy the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh. Well, I was thinking, I tried to get a tape or even a KKLA to verify that you were interviewed, and they would not release any information. I'm just wondering if somebody...
You've got it right now, so from us, and you can get a copy of this program if you want to.
Okay.
Hey, John, we're out of time. Thanks so very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Avi, I just want to thank you for being with us. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I'm very, very afraid for what's about to happen to the United States because of what George W. Bush is doing. Don't forget, 9/11 happened 2 weeks after he signed a secret agreement with the Saudis to force Israel back to the borders of 67. And we all know that there is a plan to hit America still from within by the weapons of mass destruction of the Taliban and the Muslims and the Al-Qaeda. America has to remain very vigilant. And
we're going to have to let you go. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, if you would like to get a copy of that a four-tape set, we were talking about Genocide and why it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then I want to mention, of course, that if you are certainly living in the Monterey Bay area or anybody else across America, and you'd like to find out about getting food supplies or the supplies you're going to need when, of course, these terrible things do come about, and I believe God is going to bring his wrath on this country, and you're going to have to be able to look out for yourself and your neighbors and your family. And if you'd like to get a special catalog on how to get all the items that you need, give us a call and ask for a ready reserve food catalog. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get some of the things that we have actually produced here at Radio Liberty, our four tape sets on the Kennedy assassination, on, of course, the pagan agenda, the four tape set on the men we left behind, the four tape set on concentration camps, or you can get specials. There are specials on all of these various items. If you'd like, of course, to get more information on the various products that Radio Liberty has that help us to stay on the air, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. We'll be glad to send you a resource catalog on food and food supplies. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you'll see many of the items that we carry listed there. And, of course, those items are what helps to keep us on the air, bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, 5 hours every day on stations all across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will want to get some of the items we carry. Now, we do carry Avi Lifshin's first two books, the Threat of Islamic Terrorism, and then, of course, Christian Revival for Israel's Survival. We do not carry his new book, which is Islamic Threat number, and, of course, this is number one, Islamic Threat, Almanac number one. And if you want to get that, it's 1-800-540-0828. But we do carry the first two books on the Islamic Threat and, of course, on the Christian Revival for Israel's Survival. And then, of course, we rely primarily on our listeners for support. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And that is reach out all across America, buying time on radio stations so that we can tell you the truth, because if we were being put on by the radio stations, we couldn't tell you the truth. And, of course, many of our stations are only half an hour a week, but people will listen a week in and week out and home their organize their whole day on our weekend programs. And so that's heard on 35 different stations. Overall, we're heard on over 56 different outlets every week. And thanks to the people who believe in what we're doing and willing to help us. Well, let me simply mention that we, of course, carried Phonopoly, and this is a program that allows children to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And if you'd like to learn more about Phonopoly, go to our website at radioliberty.com. Or, of course, Phonopoly is simply played like Monopoly. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and, of course, we throw in a couple of books. $139.95, and you can undo in 16 hours all the harm that the government schools have done on the minds of our children. If you really care about your children or grandchildren, get them a Phonopoly set and teach them how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. And if you want to know more about the big Berkey water filter or the Berkey Light water filter, and, of course, you buy them through us, why you get either a free 4-tape set or a 3 video that we have actually produced. That's the Big Berkey water filters or the Berkey Light water filters. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, get the pictures, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we want to mention that if you would like to set up an institute on the Constitution in your community, why, you can do that by calling 410-760-6759. That's 410-760-6759. And help us educate the American people about the foundation of our freedom, and that is the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, you will get actually 12 lectures, plus 2 David Barton videos, plus a book for $99. And they'll even arrange for you to pay for that on a volunteer basis at a later time. But call them at 410-760-6759 to learn about the Institute of the Constitution. And then, of course, if you don't know about Alamax, a special garlic product that has all the benefits of garlic without the bad odor of garlic, why, give them a call at 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America and American people don't turn back to God, God will never again bless this land, and we may well see God's wrath on this country. And, of course, he's brought his wrath on other countries all during the years, and there's no reason he shouldn't bring it on America. People say, I'm going to be raptured. Well, maybe the rapture will come 20 years after America's fallen, and then what will you say? And then pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Till tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.